Today on Seculo, as we await a Supreme Court decision on Roe, our fight for life continues.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo, folks. This is a unique broadcast today because, as we know, the Supreme Court will be deciding the fate of Roe versus Wade early this summer. And there's a lot that will happen depending on this case. Now, it might not be that it's a direct reversal. Roe versus Wade is no longer the law of the land, but it could be that the basic principles of Roe versus Wade that allow for very little restrictions on abortion, that the idea of Roe versus Wade is gutted. So what happens next, of course, in this fight for life? Well, we know the abortion industry is going to ramp up two ways. They want to shut down pro-life speech. We've seen that time and time again. We have current cases right now you're going to hear about where the abortion industry wants to shut down sidewalk counselors. The idea that on that sidewalk, on that public sidewalk, because you're speaking about your pro-life position, that speech is no longer allowed. So they want to treat, it's always abortion distortion, treat anything against abortion as somehow different and wrong. And they're going to also ramp up their efforts to try and shut down crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life pregnancy centers that are across the country. So you might be in a state where, and the abortion industry knows this, that if they give the green light to the law in Mississippi, your state might want to say, okay, well, we want to adopt the same law. But you might need a constitutional change. You might need some advice from the ACLJ. You will get challenged in court still. They'll all be unique. So there's going to be an incredible moment. The fight will be far from over if we get the decision that many people are predicting that opens the floodgates to allow states to regulate abortion more directly. And I think, again, folks, we have not seen a case like this since Roe versus Wade. I mean, really, again, we saw one close in 1990. That's how long it has been. And Logan, we know, though, the abortion industry is a business. That's part of the show today. We show the insides of that, and it's about making money. So when you try to come after a business, they will fight back. And so even if they lose this case to the Supreme Court, that opens up the fight to the states, and they're well-funded.
If Roe versus Wade is overturned, definitely take a huge victory. I mean, the fact that we've gotten this far, but that does not mean the fight is going to end. It means the fight is going to change and change rapidly. So what you'll see in this, some of this documentary you put together, again, you watch the full film at acljfilms.com, is that our team broke down really what that industry is like, what the business side of abortion is, big abortion, if you will. It's you know, definitely not something you necessarily want to watch with your children. So I want to give fair warning to that. It's a pretty intense, obviously, subject matter. But you should watch it. Keep yourself educated because so much is going to change. You have these kind of documentaries that are relevant right now. They're going to be even more relevant, and we're going to have to probably update them because so much is going to change potentially in the next few months. We have to be well-informed and engaged on what is going on with this fight and how things are going to change. And look, that is not something that we at the ACLJ are not already considering. We're already looking towards what happens depending on the decision. Decision can go either way. But what happens and how does this fight continue on? Like you said, they're not going away quietly.
Yeah, I mean, so again, it's a billion-dollar-year business. You have to think about it that way. When you come and when you win against a billion-dollar-year business, they don't just say, okay, we're done. We're not going to fight back anymore. Remember, what this case would do, and we'll explain this throughout the broadcast today, and talk about how they're already trying to shut down pro-life speech, pro-life pregnancy centers, and the business of abortion. But ultimately, what they're going to do is they're going to take this battle to the states. Now, about half the states of the country are red states, pro-life states, but still, they're going to need to do a lot of work to get the good laws in place. So they will fight every step of the way, the abortion industry there. Then you got about half the country where, you know what, this is going to open up a whole new debate. Because instead of just saying, oh, well, the federal law or this, or we don't really have a say in this, even if you're in a blue state, your state now is going to have to make decisions about this. And your state legislators and your governor, they can't just hide behind federal law if this case goes the way we hope. So you got to get up to speed and ready to go for this battle. The abortion industry, they're ramping up. They're preparing like they've lost. We have to prepare like they are going to lose at the federal level. So what's going to happen when this really returns to the states for the first time since Roe versus Wade? That's why we need your support financially. We have a matching challenge the entire month of March at aclj.org. Donate today, aclj.org. Double your impact. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We'll now recognize our witness. Pleased to welcome Ms. Cecile Richards, President of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. If you will please rise and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Startling revelations tonight that could put some in the abortion industry in a most uncomfortable position.
I'm proud to be here today speaking on behalf of Planned Parenthood, a leading provider of high-quality reproductive health care in America.
The fetal tissue is obtained with the pregnant woman's permission and can be useful investigating diseases.
Planned Parenthood has been in the news recently because of deceptively edited videos released by a group that is dedicated to making abortion illegal.
Planned Parenthood Senior Director of Medical Services says prices per body part specimen would likely range from $30 to $100.
The outrageous accusations leveled against Planned Parenthood are offensive and categorically untrue.
I think what we need to look at is the business of abortion. And the business of abortion starts with a sale.
An organization is chopping up children and selling the body parts to the highest bidder.
They can call it whatever they like. The reality is they've been caught red-handed.
I was told that it was just a blob of tissue. She looked me dead in the eye. She said, it's not a baby. It's a blob of tissue.
We really did treat women like second-class citizens.
Do not ever kid yourself. They know exactly what they're doing.
We were driven by this quota.
I didn't want the baggage. In all honesty, of having a child.
I pretended I was fine, but I wasn't fine.
She said, this is the best choice for you.
They're in the business of abortion. They worship at the altar of abortion.
Most people working in the abortion clinic make more money than they can anywhere else.
Does no one see what's really going on in America? Is this really who we're going to be?
Can you tell me how many of your affiliates receive the majority of their revenue from abortion?
I don't know that answer.
Could you get it for me?
I'll talk to my team.
Thanks.
But I do think it's important to understand that abortion procedures are probably more expensive than some other procedures that we provide, which might, you know, might explain what you're trying to get at.
Fear is probably the biggest reason why these girls have an abortion. A lot of them know that it's wrong. A lot of them don't want to do it, but they feel like it's their only way of surviving their life. I just can't have this baby. The guy's not going to stand by me. My parents will not stand by me. My mom's telling me to have it. My friend has had one in the past and she says, just do it, you know, just suck it up for this half an hour and go through this horrible thing and your life will be back to normal.
Crisis pregnancies have all kinds of circumstances that surround them. Perhaps they're young and unmarried. Perhaps they're in an economically compressed circumstance or maybe even a depressed circumstance. It may be that they have family pressures. There may be stigma that is sure to be placed on them if they carry a child to term.
Because she's scared, because she already has other children, because she's poor, because she's single, because the guy ran out on her, because she's in college, because she wants to finish her education, because she just got a promotion at work and she doesn't want to, she doesn't want a baby to come in between her and her career goals. Because she doesn't want to disappoint her parents, because she was raised in the church and she doesn't want anybody to know that she was having sex.
They're confused, they're hurt, they're scared, and abortion is presented as the easy alternative, the painless alternative to eliminate the problem.
I didn't want the baggage, in all honesty, of having a child while I was in college because I had a vision for my life and it didn't include children.
I don't have a car, I don't drive, I have no money, you know. So yeah, the ideal thing would to be to have an abortion. That's what I had 100% decided to do.
It was my third pregnancy in my second marriage with an agreement there would be no more children. Of course, I never expected to get pregnant. And when I found myself pregnant, Roe v. Wade had just happened. It was all in the news. I called my doctor. He said, no problem. We can take care of it.
I remember walking out from the bathroom, holding the pregnancy test and telling my boyfriend at the time, I'm pregnant. You know, my mind was blank. I had no idea what to do. And so I guess I was looking to him for some answers. And I just remember he looked at me and he said, well, that's not a problem. He said, I've taken other girls to abortion clinics. We'll just take you to a clinic and get it taken care of. And, you know, I would like to tell you that I thought, well, wait a minute, you know, let's talk about this. But I didn't. I just said, okay.
Sat through the counseling part of it. And of course it was very, you're too young. You know, this is probably going to be your best option. I remember very, very vividly them saying that. So I thought, okay, we borrowed money from his best friend. And at the time, that friend was the only one who knew about it and made the appointment. And I went back the following week.
My mom said to me, she says, if you have this baby, you have to do it by yourself. She says, or you can have an abortion. And I thought to myself, wow. Okay, I can have an abortion? Well, let's do that. I mean, I'm 14, I don't wanna be pregnant at high school, and so if it's coming from my mom, surely, you know, it's a good decision. So, okay, yeah, let's do that.
And a friend came running in, and he said, Jonesy, your girlfriend's on the phone. She's crying. So I ran out, I answered the phone, and she just kept saying over and over and over again, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, it wasn't me. And then her father said over the other line, Jason, we know your secret, and your secret's gone. And we took Katie to get an abortion.
In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortions. The majority in cases from Texas and Georgia said that the decision to end a pregnancy during the first 3 months belongs to the woman and her doctor, not the government.
One of the things that most Americans think, and think wrongly, is that abortion began with Roe v. Wade. The truth is that every single civilization throughout all of antiquity and all the way up to the present time has had as a major component part of the culture, abortion.
I think from the very beginning, I came with a large family. My mother died young, 11 children. That made an impression on me as a child. Mm-hmm. I was a trained nurse, went among the people. I saw women who asked to have some means whereby they wouldn't have to have another pregnancy too early after the last child, abortion, which many of them had. So there's a number of things that are one after the other that really made you feel that you had to do something.
According to New York Health Department statistics, we now know that there are more African-American babies that are aborted in New York than actually born alive.
Of course, the lack of access for African-American women, in particular, to basic preventive health care, including family planning, is a huge problem in this
country. It is,
well.
And I don't want to spend, and I agree with you, that's is a aforementioned time of places that we've served and worked in, but it does concern me that three times the African-American population is 13%, yet they're being aborted 3% of the population at 35%.
At the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, there were a number of revolutionary figures who wanted to remake the world as a kind of revolutionary challenge, to remake it in a kind of pseudo-scientific fashion. They wanted to usher in Tomorrowland.
Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of that organization, were eugenicists. And eugenicists are not killing babies because of some political issue. They're on a mission to purify.
Planned Parenthood began as a eugenics movement. This was to create the superior race. And the target of Planned Parenthood were those that they deemed to be less desirable. And they viewed the minorities in our communities as the least desirable.
She believed that sexuality is a powerful engine to drive social change. And so she sought to usher in this revolutionary new age, starting with human sexuality, and do it by scientific means, by eliminating unwanted people groups, what she called human weeds. And the human weeds were specifically identified as blacks, Hispanics, Eastern Europeans, Slavs. She believed that these were sort of lower on the evolutionary chain. And so to bring about this new age of a race of thoroughbreds, as she called them, you had to eliminate the bad gene stocks out of the human gene pool. Well, abortion, birth control, those kinds of things really emerged out of that ideology. It wasn't medicine. It wasn't to help women. It wasn't to give freedom of choice. It was really, how do we reshape society?
The eugenics movement is dead. They don't call it eugenics anymore. Planned Parenthood doesn't use the word eugenics. But the fact of the matter is, the result that they're getting is exactly the same. It's the elimination of a race. Where are these abortions taking place? Minority communities.
This is a really critical month for the ACLJ. Be part of our matching challenge at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
started life as a single cell. That cell was a combination of an egg like this from your mother and a sperm cell from your father.
At what point does a zygote become a human being? At the moment of conception? Where in the physiological, sociological, psychological development of the unborn, can we really say this is a human being? And the response that I generally get after listening to all the arguments, nobody can answer with absolute certainty. On that basis, my argument is, then you must be pro-life. Because if you can't answer the question, then you're destroying the unborn and maybe committing murder.
We've known and have had clear stages of human development from the beginning of the embryological development of the embryo for 100 years. And these were the Carnegie Collection, which predates the turn of the 19th century. And this collection was obviously from the famous Carnegie. These embryos were sectioned, histologically sectioned, in the early part of the 20th century. We've known how they developed.
That child in the womb has 10 fingers, 10 toes, a beating heart, a functioning brain, unique DNA, that's DNA that's different than the mom or the dad. And though a lot of people want to argue about, what about the mom and what about decisions and what about the future, let's go to the most basic, simple thing that we have. Is that child a child?
Even those people who were extremely pro-choice, when the issue came to deal with late-term abortions or partial birth abortions, and the language that's used depends on which side of the argument you are, said, when we're talking about 8 months, 7 months, I mean, this is infanticide. Whoa. So somewhere between that point and conception, something happened. Can you tell me where that is? Answer is, no, I can't. Nobody can ascertain that. Fine. Then there's always the possibility that you're committing murder.
Abortion is the murder of the future.
When someone has a pregnancy test, they're not determining whether they have a fetus or not. They're determining whether they have a baby or not. And that's a very simple principle. If that baby is a baby and that child is a child, what are we doing as a culture to be able to help protect them? Now, the abortion industry will want to tell you that nothing's changed in America and nothing could be farther from the truth. When you talk to a lot of younger Americans especially, they see the technology. They see the very high-quality sonograms that are now. That's not tissue that's inside the womb. They can look inside the womb now and see uniquely this child that's smiling back at them from inside the womb. And so this basic American value that we have, that life is important, extends to life no matter how tall they are, no matter how young they are. So a young child that's very small has the same value as an adult.
A baby in the womb should be protected legally. Is the law protecting that child now? The answer to that is no. It's better than it was. It's not where it should be. Look, the unborn child should be entitled to the same rights as everyone else that is a citizen of the United States. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That life means the right to at least be born. And the problem is, and it's a, I think a really serious one, is they don't view life until that child's outside of the womb, yet they control the exit point of the womb because of their abortion procedures.
The more that we talk about the child, quite frankly, the more frustrating it is to the other side, because the last thing they want to talk about is the child. So we win when we talk about the basic value of, we just want to stand up for the rights of children, not only to be born, but to be able to live a healthy, productive life.
I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things, just marked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin.
Right now, the Guttmacher Institute, which is a Planned Parenthood-controlled organization, points the number of abortions a year at about 1 million. Over a third of those, About 330,000 of those abortions are performed by Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is the single largest entity performing abortions. There are other facilities that may be affiliates of Planned Parenthood or independent abortion clinics out there that are performing a lot of abortions as well. But the number is staggering. It's over a million a year.
I believe that saying you sold abortions is accurate because it's a business, still the largest regulated to any extent, mostly unregulated business in the land, second only to drugs, illegal drugs. And we don't have any idea how much money really goes into the abortion industry because so many are underreported because it's mostly cash business. Most states don't regulate. So I think what we need to look at is the business of abortion. And the business of abortion starts with a sale.
You know, honestly, it's not hard to sell an abortion to a woman who is vulnerable, who's scared, particularly if they're young, if they're in college, if they sort of have some goals. We can manipulate them in a way that makes it seem like they can't reach these goals unless they have that abortion.
They know exactly what they're doing. They're putting those babies' body parts together in the back room. They know they're killing babies. And most people working in the abortion clinic make more money than they can anywhere else. And so they are paid to look the other way and kill babies. And they know it.
Our supervisors would relay the budget to us and say, this is how many abortions need to be sold. This is how many abortions need to be performed at your facility every month. And if you don't make that quota, if you don't meet that level, that number, then you start losing staff.
Planned Parenthood views abortion as a business. It is their business. They're in the business of terminating human life. They don't apologize for it. They say it's part of a service that they're rendering. But in reality, what abortion is the taking of an unborn child's life.
The cost of an abortion depends on how far along the woman is in her pregnancy. So a first trimester abortion, let's say anywhere from 5 to 10 weeks is going to be around $450. This was at my facility in Bryan. From 10 to 12 weeks, it's going to be $595. 12 to 14 weeks is going to be $695. And it just continues to go up. So, you know, if you're looking at a 14 to 16 week abortion, that's going to be about $895. So it continues to go up. We know that there are physicians that perform abortions into the third trimester. There's one physician in Colorado, Dr. Warren Hearn, who performs abortions up until the date of birth. What we know is that an abortion around 30 weeks with Dr. Hearn is somewhere around $17,000. So the price just continues to increase the further along the woman is in her pregnancy. And that's not really because the procedure changes that much, particularly in the first trimester. The procedure is the same, but it's riskier. So there's higher risk to the woman the further along she is in her pregnancy.
Get your money. Come on in. There are no free abortions. If abortions are so good for women, why aren't they free?
They're in the business of abortion. They worship at the altar of abortion, and they can call it a matter of, sometimes they'll call it the product of conception or a fetal demise. All of that means the same thing. It's the destruction of a human life.
You can donate online at ACLJ.org. So think about $50. $50 becomes $100 for the ACLJ because it triggers a $50 match. These are our most critical months of the year. And we like doing this way so that we don't have to spend a lot of our broadcast doing a fundraising pitch to you most of the year. But these months, we really do have to tell you how we bring you the broadcast, how we bring you all the experts, how we have team members like Mike Pompeo and Rick Rennell, how we're planning on the fight for life. Even after the Supreme Court case, it's all because of your financial support. Be part of our matching challenge at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Freedom.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo, folks. This is a unique broadcast today because, as we know, the Supreme Court will be deciding the fate of Roe versus Wade early this summer. And there's a lot that will happen depending on this case. Now, it might not be that it's a direct reversal. Roe versus Wade is no longer the law of the land, but it could be that the basic principles of Roe versus Wade that allow for very little restrictions on abortion, that the idea of Roe versus Wade is gutted. So what happens next, of course, in this fight for life? Well, we know the abortion industry is going to ramp up two ways. They want to shut down pro-life speech. We've seen that time and time again. We have current cases right now you're going to hear about where the abortion industry wants to shut down sidewalk counselors. The idea that on that sidewalk, on that public sidewalk, because you're speaking about your pro-life position, that speech is no longer allowed. So they want to treat, it's always abortion distortion, treat anything against abortion as somehow different and wrong. And they're going to also ramp up their efforts to try and shut down crisis pregnancy centers, pro-life pregnancy centers that are across the country. So you might be in a state where, and the abortion industry knows this, that if they give the green light to the law in Mississippi, your state might want to say, okay, well, we want to adopt the same law. But you might need a constitutional change. You might need some advice from the ACLJ. You will get challenged in court still. They'll all be unique. So there's going to be an incredible moment. The fight will be far from over if we get the decision that many people are predicting that opens the floodgates to allow states to regulate abortion more directly. And I think, again, folks, we have not seen a case like this since Roe versus Wade. I mean, really, again, we saw one close in 1990. That's how long it has been. And Logan, we know, though, the abortion industry is a business. That's part of the show today. And we show the insides of that, and it's about making money. So when you try to come after a business, they will fight back. And so even if they lose this case to the Supreme Court, that opens up the fight to the states.
I know that is coming, and it's something we've been planning on and talking about here internally, which is obviously if this is to happen, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, definitely take a huge victory. I mean, the fact that we've gotten this far, but that does not mean the fight is going to end. It means the fight is going to change and change rapidly. So what you'll see in this, some of this documentary you put together, again, you watch the full film at acljfilms.com, is that our team broke down really what that industry is like, what the business side of abortion is, big abortion, if you will. It's you know, definitely not something you necessarily want to watch with your children. So I want to give fair warning to that. It's a pretty intense, obviously, subject matter. But you should watch it. Keep yourself educated because so much is going to change. You have these kind of documentaries that are relevant right now. They're going to be even more relevant, and we're going to have to probably update them because so much is going to change potentially in the next few months that we have to be well-informed and engaged on what is going on with this fight and how things are going to change. And look, that is not something that we at the ACLJ are not already considering. We're already looking towards what happens depending on the decision. Decision can go either way, but what happens and how does this fight continue on? Like you said, they're not going away quietly.
Yeah, I mean, so again, it's a billion-dollar year business. You have to think about it that way. When you come and when you win against a billion-dollar year business, they don't just say, okay, we're done. We're not going to fight back anymore. Remember, what this case would do, and we'll explain this throughout the broadcast today, and talk about how they're already trying to shut down pro-life speech, pro-life pregnancy centers, and the business of abortion. But ultimately, what they're going to do is they're going to take this battle to the states. Now, about half the states of the country are red states, pro-life states, but still, they're going to need to do a lot of work to get the good laws in place. So they will fight every step of the way, the abortion industry there. Then you got about half the country where, you know what, this is going to open up a whole new debate. Because instead of just saying, oh, well, the federal law or this, or we don't really have a say in this, even if you're in a blue state, your state now is going to have to make decisions about this. And your state legislators and your governor, they can't just hide behind federal law if this case goes the way we hope. So you got to get up to speed and ready to go for this battle. The abortion industry, they're ramping up. They're preparing like they've lost. We have to prepare like they are going to lose at the federal level. So what's going to happen when this really returns to the states for the first time since Roe versus Wade? That's why we need your support financially. We have a matching challenge the entire month of March at ACLJ.org. Donate today, ACLJ.org. Double your impact. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
More than a decade ago, a Supreme Court decision literally wiped off the books of 50 states statutes protecting the rights of unborn children. Abortion on demand now takes the lives of up to 1.5 million unborn children a year. Human life legislation ending this tragedy will someday pass the Congress. And you and I must never rest until it does.
Our whole purpose for being here is to show Governor Clinton the victim of choice and place a child in his hands.
Right.
Do you know originally
why?
So that he can be brought face to face with the reality.
So this is would you consider this symbolic protest?
Absolutely. Of course. Okay. This is speech. This is redress of grievance. We're showing him this is what abortion is all about.
Was your intent to convey a particular message to Governor Clinton?
This was a very bold move. Bill Clinton had already gotten into his car, was on the way into the car, and Rob simply showed him the unborn baby, and he said, "This is the product of abortion." And that visual changed the way abortion was viewed because here was a fully formed baby that was subject to abortion.
Our intent was to bring him face to face with an aborted baby so that he could see what abortion is. Take it out of the realm of
reality. Would your opinion be that there would be, that people in the area would have known that's what you were doing?
Of course.
Was there other protests going on there? Were there other protests?
There were rescuers that were dismayed.
No. Were there other protest activities and speech that could be going on right around there?
Outside the Hotel Intercontinental, yes. Reverend Al Sharpton marched by, right by the hotel with a people.
Are you all there?
No.
You're not allowed to be there. You have to go at separate times. But Al Sharpton went by.
This was at a free speech zone.
A public sidewalk.
Well, at that time, the Secret Service had not cordoned off this area.
No. And the Secret Service came
over. Would it be fair to say, Mr. Terry, that the unborn child is the symbol of the pro-life movement?
Of course. That is why we exist.
That is the message.
This is a baby.
Could there be anything more symbolic? Of the pro-life movement.
It's not just symbolism. It's just like when they used to bring
the word symbolism.
It's symbolism, but it's more. It's like when they used to bring slaves up from the South and take them through northern cities and show the scars on them so people could see.
But it still is symbol. I mean, for our point,
it's the message, though.
But it's still symbolism. I mean, we weren't threatening Clinton. That's the
why point. Why were you showing it to Clinton?
So that he could see what the victim of choice is.
Lawyer's role is to make sure that the message can continue to go out. I view it the same today, is that we're not the activists, we're the lawyers. What's our job? Make sure the activists have access to communicate their message, whatever it might be. It might be a sit-in protest. It may be a carrying signs and picketing. Our job as the lawyers in all those cases, coming out of those courtrooms, and there was crazy scenes around those courtrooms. The protests were violent and ugly. It was like you punched a hole in hell and the demons came out. It was the graphic pictures of coming out of that courtroom in New York, I'll never forget it.
You don't block our clinics, I'll block your church. You don't care for women, that's a lie. You don't care if women die, pro-life, that's a lie. You don't care if
to freedom of speech is what's going to be on trial in Judge Ford's courtroom. And the issue is going to be how free speech is in America.
Our job as the lawyers was to make sure our clients were able to communicate their message of life and keep the government or the pro-abortion organizations off their back and protect the First Amendment. We've been doing that since 1988.
Startling revelations tonight that could put some in the abortion industry in a most uncomfortable position. It has to do with what happens after that procedure.
There is a legal side of this. Harvesting organs, fetal tissue like this, is illegal. So there's laws that have been broken. They're caught on tape breaking the law.
The doctor says the fetal tissue is obtained with the pregnant woman's permission and can be useful investigating diseases.
As Planned Parenthood's senior director of medical services says, prices per body part specimen would likely range from $30 to $100. In its statement today, Planned Parenthood says some costs it incurs, such as transporting tissue, are reimbursed and says that is standard across the medical field.
Now to that showdown on Capitol Hill today, the head of Planned Parenthood facing questions for hours, grilled by lawmakers after those undercover videos recorded by anti-abortion activists of Planned Parenthood employees.
Do you admit that Planned Parenthood or its affiliates harvests and sells fetal body parts for profit?
We are very clear at Planned Parenthood. We have a very clear policy on fetal tissue donation. It's done with the full consent of the patient, and as I said earlier in my statements, it is only currently done in fewer than 1% of Planned Parenthood health centers.
But no profit.
And in one affiliate in Washington State that does not receive any reimbursement for their costs, and there's only one other one, which is in California, and they've assured us that whatever reimbursement they receive, it is less than what the costs are for providing fetal tissue.
For many years, pro-lifers have told America that the abortion industry was grisly, that it was brutal, that it was inhumane, and that it was flippant in its brazen embrace of the culture of death. But after a while, the rhetoric falls on deaf ears. And quite frankly, seeing is believing. And so the undercover videos exposing what Planned Parenthood's leaders are really like, I think shattered the illusion and made people realize that this really is a filthy business.
You have the videos that were produced by the Center for Medical Progress, which have shown not only the unborn child, but the callous indifference in the way in which the abortion agents, Planned Parenthood and others, talked about the unborn child, talked about the selling of body parts, laughing that it's a boy as they cut up and show the cut up pieces that they're gonna sell as fetal remains to research institutes. So this is a perverted sense of reality, but they believe that they're doing a service. Well, that child is in a surgical tray, torn to pieces. And that's ridiculous, absurd, offensive, and it's criminal.
When the videos were released that actually showed what's going on behind the scenes at Planned Parenthood, how people haggle over the body parts of children to try to get the best possible price for the return for their organization, it just mortified a lot of Americans. That came out the same day that I was in an appropriations hearing. And as we're going through the appropriations, we had an hour-long debate about the value of orca whales and studies that should be done on orca whales. And it just astounded me and grieved me.
The challenge that we have on this as a nation is, the argument is for that baby, that baby's really not a baby, it's just a fetus, it's tissue. That's not a human baby is what everyone's told. That's just tissue. And it's up to the mom to determine what happens to that tissue. And then on the flip side of it, moments later, they take that tissue and then sell it because it's human organs that are needed for research. You can't say in one moment that's not a human and then sell it for the next moment as a human organ and say now suddenly it is. It was a human all the way through. There was never a time that wasn't a child. There was never a time that wasn't a human. And it seems the ultimate irony to me that we spend time talking about humane treatment of animals being put down, like in horse slaughter, and we completely miss children being ripped apart in the womb and their body parts being sold. And then the doctor in this particular video gives the details of how once they get that consent from the mom, they would be careful to reach in and actually crush the head of the child to kill the child in the womb so they could preserve the rest of the organs, because the kidney has value, because the liver has value, because the lungs have value, because the muscles in the legs have value. I would tell you, that child has value.
A picture is 1,000 words, a famous saying. Evidence that is demonstrative, which this is, makes a huge difference. Those videos showed what was going on. The whole world saw what was going on. And frankly, the whole world was repulsed, except for very few politicians in Washington, D.C., who I guess can be repulsed at nothing.
As for Planned Parenthood's funding, it receives $528 million annually in government money, which supports services like cancer screenings, treatment of STDs, and birth control. The group also performs abortions, but by law, none of the federal money it receives can go to abortion.
The idea that we give taxpayer funds to Planned Parenthood is absurd. They argue, well, those funds aren't used for abortion. But what it does is free up $500 million a year to be used for their other issues. And what's that? Usually fighting us in court. So we're funding them to fight us in court while we're going after their abortion practice. So the fact of the matter is, it may not pay for abortions per se, but it gives them a way to move the money around. It's a shell game.
After the videos were made public, I heard from friends and constituents of mine who for years had given money to different organizations thinking that they were supporting healthcare for indigent individuals, and found out that what had happened was, in the instance of Planned Parenthood, they basically had become an abortion service.
The challenge is with a Planned Parenthood that so much of their business is healthcare. A lot of these dollars will go to support other aspects of Planned Parenthood when they still stand alone as the single largest provider of abortion in the country.
You can donate online at ACLJ.org. So think about $50. $50 becomes $100 for the ACLJ because it triggers a $50 match. These are our most critical months of the year. And we like doing this way so that we don't have to spend a lot of our broadcast doing a fundraising pitch to you most of the year. But these months, we really do have to tell you how we bring you the broadcast, how we bring you all the experts, how we have team members like Mike Pompeo and Rick Rennell, how we're planning on the fight for life. Even after the Supreme Court case, it's all because of your financial support. Be part of our matching challenge at ACLJ.org today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
A abortion is presented as the easy alternative, the painless alternative to eliminate the problem. What the data is showing, what the medical research is showing, that it doesn't end the problem at all. While it does terminate the life of the unborn child, there have been traumatic impacts from that abortion, and it's heart-wrenching. And these are women that are now my age, you know, almost 60 years old, sharing stories that happened to them 40 years ago at Planned Parenthood clinics where they're crying over their abortion. They've had families since then, but the trauma of the abortion doesn't end.
What they don't tell you when you're getting your abortion is what's going to happen the day after, when you walk out the doors. They don't prepare you for the physical pain, the emotional pain, the spiritual pain, the mental anguish. I pretended I was fine, but I wasn't fine. I'm a woman who got pregnant. When a woman gets pregnant, their motherly instincts just kick right into gear. It's how we're wired, it's how we're created, and I short-circuited mine. And there was a hole, there was a darkness, there was a loss, and I knew it was a loss, and I felt that. And I carried that with me for a very, very, very long time. I mean, I'll be honest, I still carry it with me. I mean, I still have to sit here and go, I took two lives.
I'm sorry, I don't believe any woman can have an abortion and not have scars from taking the life of a child. Women are uniquely made to give life, and when we destroy that life within us, we destroy part of ourselves. And it was just that sick, twisted way. You see that woman on television even today who's angry, who says, abortion is the best thing that ever happened to me, but she's saying it through clenched teeth and clenched fists. She's not saying abortion was the best thing that ever happened to me. So I think it's that defense mechanism that kicks in that tries to find a way to justify the most horrible thing anyone could possibly do to themselves.
And I think that we just don't want to face the lie because we know. And I think if you ask any woman that's ever killed her baby, she'll tell you, I knew.
We've got to be problem solvers. We have to have resources available to help these women. You know, I can't even tell you how many pregnant women we've had live in our home with us because their parents kicked them out, because they were already homeless, because, you know, their boyfriend left them, whatever, you know, and they couldn't afford their rent. I mean, that's what we have to do. In the pro-life movement, we have to not just say that we are pro-life, we have to actually be pro-life. We have to live as pro-life people. We have to make sacrifices for these women and their children. We have to get uncomfortable to do everything we can to promote a culture of life. And no matter the cost, no matter the inconvenience for us, you know, we have to show these women that there is a better way, that there is a better option, and that we are willing to be there to help them find it.
We have to deal with it economically, because even those of us that are pro-life are well aware that if all we do is change the law and do not provide the kind of economic support system, and beyond that, the kind of human support system that pregnant women need, that you're going to end up with people going underground to have abortions. You will have people going out of the country to have abortions. They will have abortions illegally in back rooms. And we don't want to see that happen either. So we've got to, in fact, have what I would call a holistic pro-life approach. We need to deal, on the one hand, with the legalities of the issue. We also have to deal with the economic factors.
You got to explain the humanity of life. You got to reach the heart of people to understand we're defending the defenseless, and we've got to have heart to do that. We have to have heart while their heart's being sold. I mean, that's part of what's going on. Think about that. We want to have the life in our heart to protect these children while their hearts are literally being sold. That's one thing. Number two, you got to litigate. You know, we've been successful against Planned Parenthood in federal court. Not every time, but often. And sometimes in big ways, most recently in a very big way. And then you got to go to Capitol Hill. I mean, laws have to change. You got to move people's hearts, minds, and soul. And part of the mind moving takes place in Washington, D.C. And we've got a very active Office of Government Affairs that's very involved in this issue. And we're going to continue to push. And we're working with Congresswoman Blackburn and Congresswoman Black to make sure that women understand what's happening and that those children are protected.
I believe the best way to reach a woman who is considering an abortion is to get to her before the abortion even occurs. So we have a lot of pregnancy centers in the United States, and that's fantastic. but we need to grow the pregnancy center movement. And I don't mean, you know, plopping down new pregnancy centers. What I mean is growing the services from inside the pregnancy centers that we already have.
I think all of the things that have marked the pro-life movement in the past need to continue. Praying at abortion clinics is powerful and effective. I think that crisis pregnancy centers are the soft underbelly of the entire movement, and we need to be supporting our crisis pregnancy centers.
So if we can make pro-life medical centers, pregnancy centers, the first point of contact, women will be less and less likely to ever enter a Planned Parenthood facility.
I love the idea of portable ultrasound vans that go to high schools and that are parked outside of highly trafficked abortion clinics.
They go to where abortion-minded women would be, beachfronts, college campuses, you know, around clinics, and they just park in their presence. And as they see women going in to clinics, they, you know, stop them, introduce themselves, tell them what they're about. And majority of women, they're like, yeah, I want to see my baby, because that's what they ask. And do you want a free ultrasound? The latest numbers now is 4 out of 5 women who board a Stork bus who see their babies on the ultrasound choose life for their babies.
I believe when women are empowered to see that baby in their womb and know the truth of what they're about to do, that women choose life.
I've particularly done an ultrasound on a client not because she didn't want her baby, but because she didn't want to stop using drugs and alcohol. And seeing the baby there confirmed for her that she needed to, that there was a life that she needed to take care of aside from her own.
The ultrasound is the absolute best way to show a pregnant woman her baby. And so many times when they see their baby in the womb, their decision to have an abortion is completely changed on the spot.
When you look at the evolution of the abortion industry over the last few decades, this is where science has a role to play. And think about it. When my children were being born, we didn't have the sonograms and the ultrasounds. But now with my children and with my grandchildren being born, you can have an ultrasound. You can see this baby in the womb. It is such a beautiful picture into the womb. And you look at those pictures and you try to figure out, okay, who does he or she look like? And then you start arguing over the names and have the great debate about what the baby is going to be named. So science has changed that. And that is something that we should hold on to and lock into. And it has helped to change the attitudes of so many women who are in my age group who came through college in the 70s and heard all of that from the NOW gang and from women's rights, and now their children are having children and they're going, wait a minute, this is a baby.
Go to ACLJ.org. If you donate $10, we've got a donor that's matching it. So again, ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, especially in the month of March, and our matching challenge campaign. That does it for the broadcast today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.